Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And I want to read again the two verses of Scripture that I shared with you last time. And I want to share with you the five truths, world-changing truths, that took place that was part of the Reformation period. These things, I'm afraid, today are taken for granted. But then, they didn't even know about them. There was such limited knowledge of the Scripture. And when Martin Luther began to study the Word of God on his own rather than the church documents, he began to realize that what the church was teaching and preaching had nothing to do with the Bible. They were man-made. And so we want to read again these two verses of Scripture that were so inspirational in stirring the hearts of those early reformers. Verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God," not the righteousness of an individual, not the righteousness of a church, but the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. For there is no difference. You see, faith is able to access the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves. And so we need the righteousness of another, amen? That's the currency of heaven, the righteousness of God. And God gave us access by faith through His Son, Jesus Christ, to His righteousness. If you're here this morning without the righteousness of Christ, there's nothing you can do. You can't eke out enough righteousness that would merit salvation. It's not possible. You need the righteousness of another, the mighty Savior. This righteousness was the inspiration of Martin Luther, and we could go down the list of all the reformers, and I'll mention some of their names: John Wycliffe, John Huss, Ulrich Zwingli, John Calvin, John Knox, Thomas Cranmer, and I could go down through hundreds of names of those that learned for the first time of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, apart from any church, apart from any leader, pope, or otherwise. That righteousness was found in Jesus Christ alone. There was a spiritual abyss in the time of Martin Luther. On October the 31st, he grabbed something that he was not accustomed to using. Have you ever seen people that were awkward with a hammer? They just didn't do a lot of hammering. And they hold it at the neck, at the top, and they try to hit with that because they don't trust themselves at the end of the handle, especially when they got bruised thumbs and fingers from that. I would imagine that being a monk all those years, he had little access to a hammer. And so he awkwardly took a nail, took the writings that he had written out, 95 theses points related to the wickedness of the Roman Catholic Church, and he nailed it to the door. It caused quite a stir that day. Many of them told him, said, you're writing your death sentence. And his simple words, so be it. So be it. They're not teaching the Bible. They're teaching falsehood. And so with that began the spark of Reformation that spread throughout Europe and throughout the known world of that day. A dedication to the Word of God and what it taught. And there were five things that completely dominated the thinking of Martin Luther that he wrote about in his commentaries on Romans and Galatians. These five truths were this: sola scriptura, only the Scriptures, or the Scriptures alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Solus Christus, anybody know what that means? In Christ alone. All right, no one else. In Christ alone. And then the final one, which oftentimes is forgotten, but soli Deo gloria, only God's glory. You see, that had been forgotten because the church was exalted. That was the glorious thing. The Pope was the glorious one. But only God's glory. These five truths were brought out in personal study of the Word of God. Do you know those five truths? Are they written in your hearts? Sometimes we write things in our heads, but people shed their blood to preach these five truths. Oh, there are many other truths, don't get me wrong. It wasn't only these five truths. But these were dominant doctrinal truths that had been forgotten during the Middle Ages, the medieval times, from 500 to 1500 AD, because there were no Bibles printed. The only ones that possessed that were the leaders of the church, and it was written in Latin, a language they didn't know. You can only imagine sitting in a service in a language that you did not know and having be preached at for an hour and a half. Now, some of you can't make it in English an hour and a half, all right? And you understand that. At least I think you do. Everybody understand English? All right. Can you imagine sitting through a service and seeking to pay attention as they spoke in Latin and you didn't know what Latin meant? Bob knows Mandarin Chinese. His wife Kathy does too. Sometimes he'll break out in Mandarin Chinese and we're all sitting there, okay, Bob. What'd you just say? But, you know, he'll break out in Mandarin. Both of them know Mandarin Chinese. I don't know Mandarin Chinese. Then we have our resident Puerto Rican that is a specialist in Spanish, right? And boy, he can talk fast. I mean, he can go at it in Spanish. And you don't know what he's saying. You gringo. I know what he's saying then. Yeah. Languages are wonderful, but can you imagine every service in a language you don't understand? You have no idea what they're teaching or preaching. 500? 1,000 years of that? Here, Martin Luther translated the New Testament into German, into the common tongue of his people, so that they would have a copy of what had been hidden away all those years in monasteries, churches. And they were angry. You see, one thing you need to know about religion, folks, religion wants to control. They want to control lives. And it's not just religion, it's sometimes preachers. Preachers that want to control people's lives. They want to control every aspect. God did not give the church preachers to control lives. He gave the church preachers to talk about one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Honor, exalt Him, preach His Word, not our Word. I hear this all the time from people that say, I don't know what's going on. But our preacher said this, that light only comes through Him. Don't come to Him and tell Him what you thought you learned from the Bible, because only He knows. God help that church. Get out of it as quickly as you can. He's a liar. My job is not to stand for you and preach Todd Brainerd's ideas. My job is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His Word. And when Martin Luther began to speak His Word, the church got angry. Excommunicate him. You know what that meant? You were cut off complete from the church, and no Roman Catholic was to support or help or assist you in any way, shape, or form, or they would be excommunicated. And in that day, that was a death sentence. Starved to death. But you know what God did? God took care of him. God provided an aide in Germany to bring him into his house, protect and shield him, and feed him during that time. Eventually, he married. He had six children and wrote hymns that exist today in German. We have one of them, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, because the truth of God's Word took the place of the ideas of the, and opinions of the church. Let's go through these very quickly this morning, because I think it's so important for us to emphasize this truth. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Scripture alone is the final authority for salvation and life. Not tradition, not church councils, not popes, not books on Christian psychology, but rather the Word of God itself. Romans 10:17, you can quote it with me from memory. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Period. Ends that sentence. Oh, how we like to add things. My commentary on it. Well, just put your commentary away and let God speak. The greatest commentary in the world is Jesus Christ speaking about Himself. And we've forgotten that today. Luther said this, "The true rule is this, God's Word shall establish articles of faith and no one else, not even an angel, can do so." That's what he wrote in his commentary on the book of Romans. There's a phrase that's used throughout the New Testament. It's a Greek word. It's a combination word. Gegraptai. Gegraptai. And it simply means, it is written. Oh, it's used so many times. In the book of Romans, it's used 16 times. In the book of Galatians, it is used 5 times. And in many other places in the New Testament, it is written as used in the Gospels hundreds of times. It is written. Gegraptai. And the idea is this. It is written in the Greek perfect tense, meaning that it's a completed action with continuing results. The Word of God is not dead. It is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide even to the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can divide soul and spirit. That's how powerful the Word of God. How many of you believe that the Word of God is powerful? All right? It's powerful. It changes people from drunks into sober individuals. It'll take a drug addict and make them sane again and live life without drugs. It'll take a self-righteous religious hypocrite and make them into a saint. That's what the gospel does. It is written. The power of God's Word. How important it is to understand and know that it's not the Scripture plus anything. Put a little blank line, draw anything in there. It's not. It's not the Scripture plus Grace Bible Church. It's not the Scripture plus Pastor Todd Brennan or Pastor Adam Watt. It's not the Scripture plus whoever guest speaker might come, or an evangelist, or a commentator writing a commentary on the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ's Word only. Because you see, the Bible is Jesus Christ written. Sola Scriptura. Sola Gratia. By grace alone. We are saved by God's free grace without anything else added. Not by good works, paying indulgences, acts of penitence, self-denial, anything else that you see in the religious world. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you probably can quote it with me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a positive and negatives in that. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Two negatives, not of works, lest any man should boast. That passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 all the way down to verse 9, some of the most glorious, and I'm not excluding the rest of the chapter, but those verses of Scripture teach and show us that our salvation is totally of the free grace of God, plus nothing. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. It's free. That's what grace means. It's without any input. Oh, we like to have input, don't we? All you have to do is read all the comments that when somebody posts something, you have hundreds of comments that go out. They put a news article out and it goes out on one of the hundreds and thousands of comments of people that are commenting, sharing their opinion. Some of them are good opinions, but most of them aren't. They're just nonsensical stuff that people type. A lot of it are these bots that they have that put a comment down there just to trash or whatever. By grace alone. Listen to Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know what the law does? It tells you you're a sinner because you break it all the time. That's all the law does. The law tells us we're sinners, but it provides no power. It provides nothing to us to save us from breaking the law. That's where grace comes in. Grace comes in and does what the law can't. Grace comes in and says, trust in Jesus alone. It's a free gift to you. The righteousness of Jesus Christ at your disposal. Take it to yourself with both hands. That's the blessing. It's by grace alone. Do you realize that there was no knowledge of this? How was salvation gained in the Roman Catholic Church for 1,500 years in their minds, that is? It's by paying indulgences. It's by doing all the things that are required. And if we pay indulgences, we can get out of purgatory and we can go on to heaven. It was all things that were done by human beings. And none of that was. No deeds of the law earn salvation. It's by grace alone. Thirdly, we have sola fide. This is probably the most well-known of the different solas, if you want to call them that. Sola fide. Fide meaning what? Faith. Sola fide, by faith alone. We access this saving faith by faith alone, saving grace, by trusting in what Jesus has already done for us. It's already accomplished. It's finished. And we simply receive it by faith. You know, children love birthday parties. And some adults like birthday parties too. Some of the adults like them more than the kids do. You know, they get all excited, put on their hat and get their little buzzer and start going off. It's my birthday! I don't know. As I get older, I care less about birthdays. Isn't that interesting? As you get older, I could care less about, you know, getting presents or even doing anything, because to me, it's another day on the calendar. Now, are we going to be doing birthdays in heaven? There's nothing in the Scripture that says we're going to be doing birthdays. Jesus isn't going to show up at your mansion with your birthday cake. All right? Some of you are already, what? No hat? No, nobody's singing the song at La Hacienda and I don't get the sombrero anymore? No? There's only one you're going to worry about, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we live in a world that emphasizes all kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with celebrating birthdays, don't get me wrong, okay? But what I'm saying is this. Here's a child, and they get a gift. All right, there's the gift sitting there. All right, there's your gift. Have they enjoyed it yet? What do they have to do to enjoy that gift that's in there? Maybe it's a pack of underwear. That's been done at birthdays before, you know. Get the yearly gift from grandma so-and-so that bought you a pack of briefs down at Kmart or one of the other store. And you're totally embarrassed in front of everybody in the whole wide world, especially with the size, you know, of the briefs. But anyway, you don't enjoy it until you open it. And there are a lot of people sitting in churches all around the world today that aren't enjoying Jesus Christ because they've never participated with Him. They've never received Him. They've never received His righteousness. You've got to open the gift. You've got to receive it, but you've got to open it. And that's what faith does. Faith opens the gift and receives the grace of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else you need to do. There's nothing, no obligations to the church to receive salvation. It's simply receiving that free gift by faith, resting in Him. Many verses that we could look at. We just read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. There's that word gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. You have to receive it. The fourth one. Solus Christus. Through Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Not Mary, not the saints, not the priests, not the church. His death and resurrection has already earned our salvation. There's nothing more to be done except to do what? Receive the gift by faith. We receive Christ's work by faith. Oh, this is so important for us to realize this morning. that it's in Jesus Christ alone. He's the person of salvation. He's the person of salvation. You know, it's amazing how many people trust in certain individuals that's going to get what I want. My legislator, my governor, my president, my this, my that. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the one that you have to deal with in order to go to heaven. And because of that, it repels a lot of people. The gospel works two ways. It works unto condemnation or it works unto salvation. And the key point is this, are you going to trust in Jesus Christ alone? Not something plus Jesus, but in Jesus Christ alone. And people like to add things to His person. And there's no need of that. As a matter of fact, you destroy the whole purpose of salvation when you start adding things in. Saying, well, I made a decision whenever I was 5 years old. Well, did it take? Were you trusting in Jesus or were you trusting in your church? I read the testimony this past week of an individual who was a Roman Catholic who came to know Jesus Christ and said they had grown up in the church. Altar boy, did the whole thing within the church. So saturated with religion and went to a church with a friend. Went to a Bible preaching church and opened the Bible and he turned to his friend afterwards and said, I've never heard that kind of stuff before. He said, our priest never uses the Bible. And his friend turned and said, that's the problem. And then quoted Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it opened a door. He came back the next Sunday with his friend and listened to the gospel. And that day he came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he said, this is hard for me because the church has been my all. The church has been my all, but now I know that Christ is my all in all. Can you learn that quickly? Can you come to truth that quickly? Yes. When you let go in order to grab a hold of Christ. The final one here is Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. We cannot boast in our salvation. God has done it completely for us. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 is all about. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest what should happen? Lest any man should boast. You watch sports figures. And my Atlanta Braves won last night. Two walk-off home runs at... finished the game after being behind most of the time. And, you know, you watch those guys, and they walk around like this. You know how they do that? Football players, they all do that. I did that! Who gave them a body? God did. Now, there's a few of them that will stop, and they'll point heavenward. Some of them, I believe, are Christians. But a lot of times, it was me, it was all me. Let's go ahead into the future 50 years. In a wheelchair. Yeah. What happened to all that strength and body power and whatever? It's gone. It's gone. It's not you. Who gives you the air to breathe? In the right, the perfect oxygen mixed with all the things that you need. Do you mix it? When was the last time you went out there and checked the oxygen formula outside? Who did that formula? God did. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Every moment of your day is dominated by one person, and that's Jesus Christ, whether you recognize Him or not. He made all things. By Him, all things consist. What keeps your body from just simply exploding? It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You owe Him everything. Listen to me. You owe Him everything. Non-Christian, you owe everything to Jesus Christ. Christian, you owe everything to Jesus Christ. It's by Him that all things consist. When you get in a car and you make it safely to Walmart, and you find that back parking spot because everybody in Milton's taking every one of the other ones, and you get out and you stop and thank God for the safety He just gave going up Highway 90, which is nothing but a death death road. I mean, I've never seen so many people that drive without any hint of what the law is. And here you are just driving along. And there was an accident, just got missed. I almost watched a motorcyclist get hit the other day. That was frightening. That whole thing transpired. He was able to get out of the way, but he almost got run over. Deadly. Who gives you safety? Safety is of the Lord, the Bible tells us. You owe everything to Jesus Christ this morning. And these five truths that I've just shared with you were earth-shattering truths because they were learning them for the first time. You know what? I would challenge you. Get into your Bible. There's a lot of things that you haven't learned yet. There's a lot of things I haven't learned yet. That's how fresh the Bible is. Amen? It's new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's the Word of God. Exercise faith in the Word. Remember these five things, sola scriptura, by Scripture alone, sola gratia, by grace alone, sola fide, through faith alone, solus Christus, through Christ alone, and soli Deo gloria, glory to God alone. These were the great truths that came out as they studied the Word of God for the first time in their own language. We have multiple copies of this book, and yet there's dust collecting. Dust collecting. We don't have time. We got this to do. We got that to do. You better make time. You better make time. Because if you don't spend time, then the great truths of the Word of God become distant memories instead of fresh values. May God help us to be faithful in the study of His Word. Father in heaven, I thank You for the memory of Martin Luther, for the great act of courage on this day 504 years ago, where he walked down the street carrying an implement that he wasn't used to using, but he nailed those 95 theses to the door and started a fire that spread all throughout Europe and across the world. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts and lives. We're so casual with the book. We're so casual with Your Word. We hit and miss on our devotions. We don't spend time in it like we should. And then we wonder why we don't have the values and our children are not listening and our children are not following the Word of God. It's because we haven't made it a priority. It's not a priority in our lives. It's just something we do on Sunday and Wednesday night. I pray that You would deliver us from that religious attitude and help us to have a personal attitude of love for Thy Word. It was that love of God's Word that inspired the Reformation period and all those that rose to the occasion to defend the truths of Thy Word and paid for it with their lives. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts, that we'd realize the seriousness of Your Word and how it should be read and studied in our personal lives every day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.